Does sex add or subtract from your relationship happiness?
We're giving you 5 ways you can tell if you've fallen into a sex rut.
In this episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast, you'll find out why you may not be interested in sex.
You'll also find out why women grow bored, tired, and frustrated with a sexual framework that is broken.
We'll also discuss why women don't feel worthy enough to ask for something different, meaning sex that suits her sexual needs.
Welcome to the Sensational Sex Podcast, where we help women in long-term relationships thrive after the honeymoon stage is over. Are you a woman who wants a deep, intimate, and satisfying connection with her partner? Of course you do. Amy Rowan and Dr. Trina Reed have the answers, and all you have to do is join us each week. Soon, you'll be that woman who effortlessly has a satisfying sex life. Follow us on social media at Sensational Sex Podcast. Share this episode, leave a review, and thank you for subscribing. Now, let's start the show.
We are thrilled to partner with XSENZ, who are all about making your sensual experience the best it can be.
XSENZ has an amazing fall in love giveaway valued at over $700, and we'll tell you more about that halfway through our podcast.
Wow, XSENZ really is a wonderful brand.
We love what XSENZ is doing for your sensual and sexual experience.
Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for listening to the Sensational Sex Podcast. We're so happy for you to come along on this ride with us.
Even though your sex life will never be perfect, you can create a sex life that's perfect for you, and we are here to help you with that.
We are. And Amy, here's a joke. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Husband says to his wife, "Why don't you tell me when you orgasm?" And she replies, "Well, I don't like calling you when you're at work."
You know what I love about this, though? It's a joke, but I think this is also really good sex advice. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because I love that this woman is having some self-care time. She's having a little sexy time on her own, exploring her body. I mean, isn't this part of what we advise as sexologists?
Absolutely. The more comfortable you are with yourself, the more comfortable you're going to be with your partner. So bring it on. Like, do it often. It's a good thing for
Yes.
everybody. Everybody wins. So this podcast, we're talking about 5 ways that you can tell if you've fallen into a sex rut. So we'll get into some practical ideas on what you can do about it at the end of this podcast.
What is a sex rut?
There's a lot of definitions of a sex rut, but it means that you and your partner have reached a point where sex feels mundane, boring, and is maybe even non-existent.
Some indications that might tell you that you are in a sex rut. You might be feeling bored, disconnected. You might have a lack of physical or emotional connection. You might even be feeling really lonely in your own relationship.
That's a tough place to be when you're feeling lonely in your own relationship.
I've had clients in the past who told me that they're in the same room with their partner, but they feel like they're alone. And that's so sad. That type of statement really breaks my heart. It may feel different to each person, but the bottom line is when you're in a sex rut, things just don't feel as exciting or fresh through the relationship. And the connection just may not feel like it used to. Do you think that sex adds or subtracts from your relationship happiness?
Well, Amy, what do you mean by that?
In William McCarthy's book, Rekindled Desire, stated that the adage in sex therapy is that when sexuality goes well, it is a positive, integral, but not a major component, and it adds 15 to 20% to the couple's vitality and satisfaction. However, when sexuality is dysfunctional or non-existent, it assumes an inordinately powerful role, 50 to 70%, robbing the partnership of intimacy and vitality.
What I take from that statement is it's so easy to take our relationships for granted. When we're in sync with our partner and things are going well and we're having great sex and we're having a great relationship, we aren't paying attention. It's only when things start going sideways and
when we start moving into a rut, that's when we start focusing in on what's happening to our relationship. And in order to not get into a sex rut with your partner, you really need to pay attention when things are going well, be grateful, acknowledge it, say it to your partner, hey, we're doing really great, or whatever you say to your partner, but just acknowledge that you're in this great zone with each other. And when you do that, it's easier to stay in that zone.
I think being intentional about all parts of our relationship is so important. And it's a challenge. It's hard because certainly in the busyness of everyday life, it's easy just to kind of let things day in and day out just kind of move on. Reflecting back into what we talked about in last week's episode, practicing gratitude, being kind to your partner, and those are intentional steps that you can take to nurture your relationship, and that also nurtures your sex life.
Sex should be a mutually fun space and something you look forward to. Sex should give you vitality and satisfaction. This is the purpose of sex, is to bring you closer, give you vitality, give your couple's life satisfaction. So that's what it's there for.
Yeah, here's the big but.
Oh, here's the but.
It is so easy to fall into a sex rut, and it is even more challenging to dig yourself out of it.
This is where a lot of couples find themselves, and they know that they've hit this rut, but they don't know how to discuss it with their partner. Getting out of this rut doesn't have to be difficult. However, here's my but, Amy. However, mm-hmm. The challenge is you need to understand and then take responsibility for how you got there in order to get yourself out. A lot of people don't want to take responsibility for why they got there. They just want to blame their partner. They just want to point the finger at their partner. Sex is a two-way street and it takes two people, and you have to take responsibility for how you got yourself here.
Yeah, I've heard that, unfortunately, more times than I would like to. I have a client that comes to me and they say, my husband, my partner, or sometimes it's the other way. You know, my wife says something's wrong with me. This is my issue to fix. And how do I fix myself? And you're right. It takes two people to get there, and it takes two people to help work your way out of it. A big reason why the average woman in a long-term relationship isn't enthused about sex is because she's trying to fit a so-called round peg into a square hole.
That can be taken a lot of ways, Amy. Women are having orgasm-focused sex when she probably needs something more or different in order to be satisfied.
Did you know that there are 40 million plus North American women? They feel that sex is just kind of meh.
Ugh. I'm not surprised by that. Like 40 million, that's a lot of women, but it doesn't surprise me that they feel meh about sex.
Yeah. And everyone these days is looking for an easy solution to what is really a very complicated, multi-layered modern day life question. And that question is, how can I have fun and meaningful sex while trying to be super mom, super worker, super wife, I'm trying to do things for myself, self-care, all of these things. And how can I somehow have a great sex life in the midst of doing all of these things?
Why do we take our relationships for granted? Why do we let things slide? Why does this happen? We've got so much going on that we're trying to juggle all these things. Sex is just one of them. We're not blaming you if you get into a sex rut, because it happens to everybody. And in fact, in 2005, the Claim Sex Research Facility, the Kinsey Institute, surveyed 853 women between the ages of 20 and 65 and proved demands of modern life are to blame for women having less sex.
To add on to that, a major women's magazine polled 7,895 readers, and they asked them, what are some reasons that you did not have sex last month? And among women, 42% said that they were too busy or too stressed. 34% cited different bedtimes than their partner. 35% said that they weren't interested. And 23% said feelings about their body made them less interested. So just not feeling good about themselves, whether it's weight or health or things like that.
It makes sense that there's a lot of things working against couples. If you're not paying attention and you're just living your life, and it's easy to fall into a sex rut.
So often, also part of this is people looking for reasons not to have sex. I am too busy. I am too tired. I gained 5 pounds. I just don't feel good about myself, or I'm angry with my partner, you know, all of these different things. It's multi-layered. And I would certainly venture to say that of these percentages I just rattled off, probably a lot of those people have felt many of those things simultaneously.
Yeah. Or separately, we've all felt this way. Sometimes they all mash together and we feel all of them all at once, which is pretty awful. Eventually, the struggle is too much. And it's like women are failing at sex over and over again until she becomes apathetic and gives up. And there's no greater libido killer than a woman who's become apathetic about sex. And if you don't know if you're apathetic about sex, generally women say things like, I don't care if I ever have sex again. And we understand why you're there.
The important thing here is, instead of women wrapping themselves into pretzels, you try to turn everything and flip it and let me try this and this and this and all of these different things. I'm trying to be a better wife and a better mother and a better worker and all of these things. We're wrapping ourselves into these pretzels to make all of this work and to make their sex work. Sex needs to work for that woman. And there is an easy solution, and we're going to get into that.
It's flipping this idea, like, instead of wrapping yourself into a pretzel, sex needs to be working for you. You need to make sex work for you. When a couple actually gets into a rut, they might cheat, which is a really bad segue. I'm sorry. I don't want to scare the listeners. I was just trying to move into our sex IQ, but we'll be right back.
Amy, I love me a giveaway. Me too. Especially when it involves things that bring me sensuality and loving touch. We are thrilled to be partnered with XSense, who is doing the most amazing Fall in Love giveaway. Don't miss out on the chance to win one of 4 luxurious bundles featuring a best-selling Iroha toy and great XSense products. Each bundle is worth over $175. Indulge in a Japanese and French love affair that will leave you swooning. Enter now for an experience that you'll fall in love with. It's super easy to enter. Simply go to xsense-usa.com to enter. Amy, can you imagine this amazing gift basket showing up on your doorstep?
Oh, I can. And how fun will it be for you and your partner to open it together?
And all the fun things that will happen after.
You have until September 27th, 2024 to enter. So go right this second before you get distracted.
And share the love and make sure to tell all your friends.
Make your fall a lot more interesting with the XSense Fall in Love giveaway.
Good luck. Amy and I, we're keeping our fingers and our toes crossed that you get to win the Fall in Love bundle.
Are you ready? I've got a question for you this time.
Okay,
here we go. Can someone predict whether a woman has cheated based on her face alone? A, yes. B, no. Or C, depends. What do you think?
Well, the answer, Amy, is B, no. In this study, 1,516 heterosexual adults, 61% were female and all were Caucasian, viewed facial pictures of either male or female adults of the same race. The people in the photos had neutral expressions, and the photos were cropped such that the face was the main focus. So
both male and female participants were able to predict, this is interesting, whether men had engaged in cheating and or poaching. However, neither male nor female participants were able to predict whether women had cheated or poached before. It sounds like we're We're the better liars. Is that
we're
a good thing?
Sneaky?
I don't know. What does that mean? I'm not sure.
I don't want to take a guess at that.
Yeah.
So men with more masculine looking faces, guys with more square jaws rather than rounded faces, were rated more likely to be unfaithful.
Very square jaw. That's more masculine. That's from an assumption of more testosterone. In my mind, I used to get that be rated as more likely to cheat. My husband is, he's just a thinner build sort of guy who can explain attractions. I never really did attractions, literally big, big guys. That's just never been my thing. Whatever it's because I'm like internally thinking they're going to cheat. Who knows? I don't know.
It shows unconscious bias that we have.
Yeah.
It's just an unconscious bias that we have about men with square jaws.
It's interesting. What I wish that we could see, and you know, I hope that there's more of this, is this particular study was talking about, you know, heterosexual and Caucasian. I'd love to see, you know, this study done, you know, with more, you know, diversity and inclusion and things like that. It'd be, you know, be curious to see how people would evaluate if people LGBTQ or things like that, if that would look like, if there's differences there. I'd be curious. Now, this is the part of the podcast where we are going to put on our sexologist hats and give you concrete and practical tools to help with your sexual situation.
How do you know if you've fallen into a sex rut? The first step is to ask yourself, why am I not interested in sex anymore?
You don't need time for sex. No foreplay. Fine with you. I don't really care. No big deal. I'm over it.
You'd rather be doing anything else than having sex. And a lot of times that's avoiding sex.
And, you know, you and your partner never discuss sex. This entire sex from start to finish is predictable. Ugh. Yeah, that's so not fun. Where
when you're at a point in a relationship where the sexual cues are the same, and when you walk into the bedroom, the sex is the same. When I'm speaking, I make a joke of, you know, just try the other side of the bed because it's just shaking things up and it's easy to do. But when you're having the exact same sex every single time, if you did anything, it doesn't matter if it's sex, if you did anything the same over and over and over again, anything would become boring.
And well, yeah, I'm thinking specifically of Dr. Ian Kerner's book, So Tell Me About the Last Time You Had Sex. He talks about the sexual script and how most couples have a few different versions. So what's your sexual script, right? It's sex is initiated in some way. Someone kisses, someone touches, you know, there's a little, you know, touching of the top side. And, you know, we do this position, I touch you here, I do this to you. And then we roll over and go to sleep. And most couples have some version of this, a few, you know, depending on how much time you have, what mood you're in, where you are in your cycle, who knows, whatever it is. Looking at that sexual script and finding ways to change that up, introducing novelty, that's what breaks that predictability.
It can feel overwhelming to say something to your partner. Can we do this or try this? Just having that conversation outside the bedroom in a productive and assertive way, you know, the way we're supposed to be doing, having communication. You know, I feel like that's intimidating and maybe overwhelming for some women. Even doing something like bringing a lube into the bedroom. Lube is amazing. Lube is the bomb. It makes all sex better. But bringing that new thing into the bedroom, you have to take the lube bottle out. You have to open the cap. You have to pour it out. It takes the momentum. And if you don't feel confident enough to do that sort of thing, it's easy to stay stuck in your sex rut. Something I like to say to couples is, if you want to shake things up, read something on the internet and share it with your partner. That way you can read it in separate rooms. You're not together. It doesn't have to be awkward, but you're both reading it and you're both maybe getting ideas. And maybe when you go into the bedroom, there's going to be that openness to doing something different. It doesn't have to cause conflict. It can be something fun, but there's the getting over the awkwardness of bringing something different into the mix.
There's just so much fear about communicating about sex. It's something as simple as, to your example, let's try this lubricant or let's try this new toy. Because there's just a fear of, I guess, the partner reacting as, oh, well, what is this? Am I not enough? Is this not good? Are you not enjoying this? When perhaps that is the case, not about not being enough, but maybe you're not enjoying it as much. But it's more of, I just want to try something a little bit new. Let's change things up a little bit because it's fun. That's the novelty. That's the spice. Initiating those conversations, just being able to say, I just want to, you know, try something a little bit different because look, we've got another 10, 20, 30, 40 years ahead of us. So let's change up the sexual script. It'll be interesting.
Something that isn't discussed often enough is women love sex. And the average woman in the average relationship has a healthy and robust sexual desire, arousal, and libido.
There's a meme that I saw that I always loved, and it says something like, men think that they want a woman who wants a lot of sex until they actually have one. Which always cracks me up. Because truly, a woman with high arousal, libido, and desire, we don't have a long refractory period. We can go and go and go as long as we want, as many times as we want, until we decide to call it a day. So if it's not her, then what could it be?
Drum roll, please.
Well, Amy, the way couples are expected to have sex is broken. And a big reason couples find themselves in a sex rut is their sex becomes predictable, which we've talked about. A big part of the predictability is too many couples only ever have orgasm-focused sex. The purpose of this sexual encounter is to have an orgasm. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it does become predictable for a lot of women. After a while, it just doesn't do it for them.
I expect there might be a few people who are listening right now who are saying, what should we be having if not orgasm-focused
like,
sex?
What's the point?
If it's not orgasm-focused sex, what should the focus of sex be?
Yeah.
And my answer to that is pleasure-focused. But getting a fight with this is that most women are unable to communicate what they want, so they want something different because for all the reasons we just talked about. And so it makes a lot of sense that many women start to grow bored and frustrated with this sexual framework, this orgasm-focused sex that sets her up for failure because if she's not having orgasms, now she feels broken, or if it's taking too long, all of those things. And so just because of all that, she just starts to lose interest because she's not feeling good.
And becomes apathetic.
Yeah.
The good news is it's not you. Yes. It's the sex you're having.
Yes.
But this is where you have to take responsibility and ask for something different. And it breaks my heart. Can you hear my heart breaking, Amy? It's breaking.
Yes.
This is where most women's sexual journeys stop. She doesn't know how to ask for what she wants and to do something different.
For those of you who are listening, who are hearing a lot of yourself and what we're saying right now, the key is believing that you are worth the effort.
You are. You are worth the effort.
You are worth the effort to follow through and to get to the other side of this. And this will be the biggest challenge as part of this process, but you are worth it.
Feeling worthy is a woman's biggest challenge for everything, not just sex, but in a lot of different areas. That's a systemic problem that we're all working on. But Amy, why do you think it's so hard for women to believe she is worthy?
Oh,
this is
a big question.
A can of worms here. We're just opening that can of worms.
Innately, we are trained, we are taught to take care of everybody else. A lot of this goes back to the messages that we received growing up. I was raised with a mom who's a psychotherapist. She told me I was amazing and wonderful. And she filled me with lots of great messages. And I'm grateful for that. But even as a teenager, as a young woman, I still struggled with that. And I still struggle with some of that now. I hear these different conflicting messages. And it's just so hard to be able to pull up that strength within ourselves. It's challenging. What do you think?
It starts at birth, really, in how we're socialized from birth, and it's nobody's fault. It's just the way things are. I look at how I'm raising my sons. I have two sons, and I feel like how I'm raising them would probably be different than how I would raise a girl. even though I would want to raise them exactly the same way. Like I have what we'd already talked about, these unconscious biases. I look at my mother's generation and how she treats the females in our family, which is very different than how she treats the males in our family. And she's only a generation away from me. I don't know if you can relate to that, where the older women treat men differently than they treat the daughters. And yeah. And as much as I would rail against that, if I had my own daughter, I think I would probably be sneaking into this somewhere.
I do believe that each generation moves the needle incrementally. You know, the discussions that young women are having these days are so different from the discussions that I had when I was in my 20s. And I'm sure from, you know, the discussions and stuff that you had, you know, I love enthusiastic consent and the Me Too movement, you know, all these things have really moved the needle. And I like to think that hopefully we are raising younger women that are feeling stronger and more worthy than how we felt and how the previous generations of women felt for us.
And just to add to that, I have a niece and she's super outspoken. And at first I was like, oh, wow. But then I was like, yes, of course. Like that was just my automatic response. Who are you to be this ballsy? You know, who are you? But, you know, that's exactly
too
what
much,
she should be
right?
being.
You're too much. You're too loud. You're saying you need to sit down. You need to listen. You need to X, Y, Z. I was raised with a feminist mother, so I didn't hear as much of that, but it's still innate in the world. But I love that. I love that your niece is speaking up and being big, and I hope that the world does not take that away from her.
It's up to me to raise her up. Yeah. My job is to raise her and her opinion, and you know, even if I don't agree with her, whatever, it doesn't matter. She's doing it, and I need to raise that up. That's my job.
And as moms of sons, because you know we're raising young men instead of daughters. You know, one of the biggest things that I know is really important to me is raising my boys to respect strong women and to hold up strong women and not be intimidated by that and support that. We never know exactly how our children are going to turn out. You know, I hope that my boys will, you know, be attracted and continue to support the women in their lives.
I think my two sons, they are attracted to really smart, really confident people, you know, and I'm just so happy for that. You know, this is who they're choosing is smart, competent, confident.
I feel like
I've done something right with my life when I look at who they're choosing. For women, if you are on this journey, a good and easy place to start with your self-worth, with getting out of a sex rut, is with your emotional intimacy and build from there. A 2018 study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships found that higher levels of emotional intimacy are associated with higher sexual desire in long-term relationships. Finding new things with your partner is one way to build that feeling of togetherness.
This is such a critical piece of it. And this is something that I hear all the time. You know, we get into bed and that's when my partner reaches over and starts to touch me. And that's way too late. So that needs to start way earlier in the day. So maintaining that non-sexual touch, is that non-sexual physical intimacy is so critical on every level. That's hugs, that's cuddling, caresses as you pass in the hallway. One thing, my husband and I, we dance in the kitchen. I'll be cooking dinner and help him up, and we'll just do a little dance around the kitchen. All of this goes such a long way towards meeting sensory needs, connective needs, and getting into that habit of regular physical touch that doesn't lead to sex. Non-intentional touch. That's the other thing, because if a partner, generally speaking, the woman, feels like the only reason that the husband is coming out and kissing and touching her is because it's going to lead to sex, then she's going to start recoiling from that touch. So non-intentional touch can help partners feel more relaxed, obviously releases all that great oxytocin, and that's going to benefit your physical relationship. And when you feel comfortable touching and being touched without the expectation for more, this can ultimately help you feel more receptive to sex.
Oh, all the things that you do outside the bedroom make a huge impact about in what goes on inside the bedroom, and touch and saying nice things to your partner, creating that non-sexual good experience with your partner outside the bedroom helps to make communication and all the awkward things that might have to happen inside the bedroom to stop the sex rut, to do something different, to change things up. All of that emotional intimacy that you're building up is going to help move you out of this sex rut and into something different, something new, something that is more enjoyable for the both of you.
Yes. And in episode 3, in our last episode, we talked about positive sexual mindsets and how that is linked to your sexual self-esteem.
A big part of getting out of this sex rut is refocusing, reframing your thoughts from what's going wrong. Because when you're in a sex rut, you're just really focusing on what's going wrong. And as you said, when your partner initiates sex, you recoil from the sex, you know, like, you know, they're touching me because they want sex.
Touch aversion.
All these thoughts are going through your head. Paying attention to your mindset and reframing your thoughts to, okay, we need to get out of this situation. I need to think this differently in order for us to be successful here.
And in this touch example, especially if that has been what your experience has been, right? You are the great where you're recoiling from touch. One thing you can do is acknowledge, say, is there attention behind this touch? Because you may think that there is when your partner wasn't doing that at all, but you're making all these different assumptions. Once you can change that mindset to, you know, my partner is just, this is just a hug. This doesn't mean he wants sex. Hug the hug. That's just a simple little switch. A little reframe, changing that positive sexual mindset.
What's important to note is there is no instant gratification here. So this is something that's going to take, depending on how wedged you are in your sex rut, it could take weeks, maybe even months. Don't give up. Persevere. Understand that climbing out of this sex rut is absolutely doable. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. It's more paying attention with intention and focusing in on what you want to have instead of what you have now. If you listen to our podcast weekly, we're going to help you take this, your sex from just being meh, to it being something that adds 15 to 20% to your couple's vitality.
Yeah, the fact that you are here and listening right now, that is a big step, because that is a place where you are acknowledging this isn't where we want things to be right now. And I'm looking for the tools and the help to pull us out of that. Pat yourself on the back for that. Great job for just being here and listening, and continue to join us each week, because we are going to give you those small incremental tools, because we want you to be able to say one of the things that we talked about today, implement that into your life today.
You can take one thing and implement it. It doesn't have to be a big step. It just has to be something. Just move forward.
Next week's podcast, we are going to discuss the choices that you make before, during, and after sex, and how those choices decide whether you will enjoy or not enjoy sex.
That's a good topic. Thanks, Amy. And for everyone out there, until next time, take care.
Take care. On next week's episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast.
We don't know the answer, but we'll do our best. Bonus episode, we're going to be talking about how much sex is normal.
We discuss Shan Boodram's belief of the amount of sex of whoever wants sex the least is the amount of sex that's normal. If that's 2 times a month, then it's 2 times a month. And if you want to change that, then change how you want to have sex with that person.
You'll find out how research shows that more sex doesn't affect overall relationship happiness.
We'll uncover why the Goldilocks standard for sexual happiness is sex once a week.
Why, if you don't have spontaneous desire, responsive desire, or want compassionate sex, then you probably shouldn't be having sex.
Make sure to listen, because this episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast will give you the tools to create the sex life that is fulfilling for you. Are you ready to experience more passion and more pleasure? In my suburban intimacy practice, I offer one-on-one sex and intimacy coaching for women and couples. book a complimentary discovery call at suburbanintimacy.com. Or learn more about my Intimacy Ignite program, your solution to experiencing satisfying and fulfilling sexual experiences and connection, even when you're busy, tired, and stressed. Intimacy Ignite is a curated collection of stimulating sex education, activities, and challenges, whether you are single or in a relationship, plus live coaching with me twice a month. Save $10 off your first month with the code PODCAST. You can learn more at intimacyignite.org.
Is more fulfilling sex on your mind, but not in your bedroom? Then go to trinareed.com to get your free copy of the Sex Bootcamp Masterclass. While you're there, check out my award-winning fiction book, The Sex Course, that went to number one in its Amazon category 3 days after launch. Both The Sex Course and Sex Bootcamp Workbook are available in audiobook. If you want to hang with groovy, like-minded, sex-positive women, then join my online courses and the success community. It's your time to create the sex life of your dreams. It all starts at trinareed.com.
Did you love what you learned today? Share this episode with someone who needs it. Friends, don't let friends have bad sex. Leave a review for this episode and follow, like, or subscribe on the listening app of your choice. We love hearing from our listeners. Email us at sensationalsexpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on all social media platforms at sensationalsxpodcast. And join our mailing list at sensationalsexpodcast.com.